And I want to get my subject there in verses 9 and 10. The apostle said we had the sentence of death in ourselves. The answer of death. If God's will to take me out through this trouble, through this affliction, he said, that's fine. Brad preached a message there one time. We had the sentence of death in ourselves. You ought to download that and listen to it. It was outstanding. Outstanding. That we, and here's the reason that we should not trust in ourselves. Man has a problem. Even God's people has a problem with that. Has a problem with that. Trust in ourselves. But oh my, but we trust in God which raises the dead, and who delivered us or saved us from so great a death, and doth deliver us, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. Now when he talks about being delivered, he's talking about being saved.
Yes.
That's the same word. He says that God saved me, is saving me, and will yet save me. Salvation in three tenses. Three tenses. He has, he is, and he shall. And I'll tell you what, that's past, present, and future. Mr. Pink said it like this. God saves us from the penalty of sin. There's no condemnation to them that are in Christ. He saves us from the pleasure, the power of sin. Sin no longer has dominion over us. You know why it don't have dominion over us? Because we're not under law. We're under grace. And I'll tell you another thing he said. It saves us, God saves us from the pleasure of sin. We don't enjoy sin. It's a great burden to us. It's a heavy burden to us to have sin. It is. That's why one of the marks of the covenant is that he brings us to loathe ourselves. And some days we loathe ourselves more than we do others. But then the second thing he says is this. The fourth thing he says is that someday he'll save us from the presence of sin.
That's right.
And what a blessing that'll be to be saved. And all this is true, but I'm going to look at it instead of a salvation in past, present, and future. I want to preach a fourfold salvation. Four tenses, if I can. And the first one is, God's elect, God's people, were saved from the foundation of the world. Mm-hmm. Is that right? We were saved, as far as God was concerned, before he ever created this earth and put the stars in heaven and caused the sun to shine and the moon to shine and filled up all the oceans and caused the mountains to come up. We were saved from the foundation of the world. Well, how in the world can this be? Well, God calls the things that are not as though they are. Ain't that right? So look with me over here in 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy 1:9. Now, I'll tell you, this is, if this doesn't prove it, nothing. You know, and the scripture says God declared the end from the beginning. And you know, God had a purpose in everything. And his purpose didn't start when time started. His purpose started from eternity. What he purposed, it shall stand. He said, I will do all my counsel. I will do all my pleasure. And my counsel or my will shall stand. And so that's why Christ, the scriptures tells us in Revelations 13 and 8, that Christ was slain from the foundation of the world. Now that's the only way in the world God could view us and view anybody as what, how he viewed them in his Son. He's never viewed his people outside his Son, even before the world ever began. As we were chosen in him, when were we chosen in him? Before the foundation of the world. That's what the scripture said, ain't it? Now that's a long time ago. I feel sorry for people that think that God didn't start anything and can't do anything until He made, you're willing and let Him do it. I feel sorry for them. But look what he said here in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 9. He's talking about God. Now look what it says. And I've told you this before. Everywhere you find God's people saved, it's always in the past tense. Always in the past tense. It was in the past tense before you and I ever got saved. Before God ever saved us. It's in the past tense. Look what he says here. But God who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, watch it now, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world ever began. Oh, for whom he did foreknow. You know what the next line says? Them he also did predestinate. I love that word predestination. Oh, yeah. Who he did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son. And whom he did predestinate, you know what it says next? Them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, he also glorified. What shall we say then to these things? Now listen to what I'm going to tell you. All of those things were done before you and I ever existed.
Yes.
Now, listen, there's a lot of folks that ain't been called yet. A lot of folks ain't been justified yet. A lot of folks ain't been glorified yet. And that's what it means when it says God calls the things that be not as though they were.
Yes.
Now, I ain't been glorified yet, but it's as good as done because God said that it was predestinated to be that way. Huh? Oh my, that's what Christ is slain from the foundation of the world. And you know, our names were written in the book of life before you and I ever existed. God put it all down. Everything that, you know, and we're in Revelations, and when our Lord Jesus took that book, the next thing you read there in Revelation 7, we read it yesterday, we'll read it tonight. Yes, tonight. That, you know, there was a multitude around that throne that no man could number. Huh? How in the world that happened? There was a multitude chosen in Christ that no man can number. All of God's elect, as far as God's was concerned, was saved because the debt was as good as paid because Christ stood as a lamb slain from the foundation of the world. And although sin didn't exist, I didn't exist, the world didn't exist, we were saved on the purpose of God Himself with a payment already, as far as God was concerned, paid. You know, the greatest thing that ever happened in the history of eternities, and we have to talk about eternities forward and upon eternities, past and eternity, but there's no beginning or ending to eternity. And God inhabits eternity. But God viewed that cross of our Lord Jesus Christ from the foundation of the world, and the greatest event that this world has ever known and the universe has ever known and will ever know is the death of Christ on that cross, His burial and His resurrection and His ascension.
Yes, sir.
God views the world from that one man and what He did. Now ain't that right? And I think that's why Paul said, I want to be found in Him. I want to know Him. I want to win Him. And I tell you that everybody that's ever been saved was saved on purpose.
Yes, sir.
Every single one of them. Noah, get in the ark if you want to. No. Oh, listen. I tell you what. And then so we're saved. That's the first thing. Saved from the foundation of the world. That's why our Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord said, all that the Father gives me, when were we given to Him? When were we given to Him? Was I given to Him when I was born? There wasn't nobody on this earth when our Lord Jesus Christ stood as the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world and stood as our surety of a better covenant. And I tell you, that's one of the most comforting things that you'll ever hear in your life.
Yes.
That's one of the most blessed things, that I'm saved because God saved me on purpose.
Yes.
No accidents with God. No chances with God. People say God's got to give you a chance. God's not from Las Vegas and He don't throw dice.
That's right.
And if a dice comes up 8, you get saved. If it don't come up 8, then you're lost. That'd be an awful way to live in this world.
Yes, sir.
It'd be an awful way to live, to think, well, if I'm saved now, if I sin, what will I do? Christ, before he came here, He stood good for all the debts of all His elect from all eternity to eternity.
Amen.
And if He didn't pay all our debts, I tell you what, there'll be nobody saved. You're talking about someone that has virtue, infinite virtue and infinite value. That's the blessed Son of God. Nothing in this world has infinite value. You buy a house, it gets old. You buy a car, it gets old. You buy clothes, they get old. But the only thing that don't never get old is our salvation given us in Christ in the gospel. I'm getting old and you're getting old, but the gospel don't never get old. All right, here's the second thing. We're saved in time by hearing the gospel. By hearing the gospel. This is the thing. God had a purpose, and in that purpose was for us to hear the gospel. That's why Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Because the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. God's righteousness is revealed in that gospel. Huh? My salvation, there is no salvation apart from the gospel. There's no salvation. Paul said, we're bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, who hath from the beginning chosen you unto salvation through sanctification of the Spirit, and listen to this, belief of the truth. And he says, you know, Paul said this, he said, when you heard the gospel of your salvation. You know, when you hear the gospel of your salvation, the gospel then becomes your gospel.
Yes, sir.
Ain't that? Ain't that right? He'd say, well, my gospel. It's my gospel too. Paul said, it's my gospel. It's my gospel. It's your gospel. It's the good news that we heard from Christ. Huh? Paul said, I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they might be saved. Oh my. And what the Holy Spirit does is this salvation that Christ did from the foundation of the world and come here and accomplished in time, the Holy Spirit takes and works in us what Christ did for us. Huh? The Holy Spirit comes and applies this salvation. He works in us what Christ worked out for us. We were chosen unto this. He works in us, and you know what He works in us? The first thing He works in us is faith. You know, that's the first thing He works in us is faith. We wasn't born with it. And it's not natural to us. So He works in us, and He works in us, and He gives us faith. And He gives us repentance. Look over here in Romans chapter 10 with me. Look at this. Look in Romans chapter 10. The Holy Spirit applies His salvation. That's what's so wonderful. You know, when we finally, God taught us the gospel, saved us by His blessed grace. This is how he did it. Look what it says here in verse 13. Romans 10:13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We called on the name of the Lord this morning. Called on him yesterday. Once you ever start calling on him, that's what this means. Once you start calling on him, you call on him all the time. That's what this means. And then he goes on to say, well, how then shall they call on him? Now, if you call on him, you'll be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? Huh? You can't call on somebody you don't know nothing about. And how shall they believe in him? And listen to this now, of whom they have not heard. How are you going to believe in him if you never heard anything about him? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Oh my. And how shall they preach except they be sent? It is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah said, Lord, who hath believed our report, believed our preaching? Who has heard us? Now listen to this. So then faith, it comes. You don't come to faith. Faith comes to you. You need to come to faith. No, faith comes to you. How does it come to you? By the gospel. By you hearing. You know when I have the most assurance? Is when I'm hearing the gospel.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I tell you, I have more assurance while I'm hearing the gospel than I do any other time.
Yes, sir.
I sit and wonder sometimes, how in the world could I be saved and how could I possibly be a preacher? When I don't know how many times I thought, well, I need to quit the ministry because there ain't nothing to me at all. And if you all knew it, you wouldn't have me in your homes, you wouldn't have me at your supper table, you wouldn't have me out for lunch or nothing else. You wouldn't have nothing to do with it. Huh? But oh my. And I tell you what, but he said, faith cometh. And how does faith come? It comes by hearing. Hearing the Word of God. And I tell you what, faith operates right now as you're hearing the gospel. It's responding to what you're hearing. Huh? And that's why you know God purposed salvation. He executed, He applied it, and He works it in us. That's why we preach one gospel. One gospel. Christ and Him crucified, that your faith would stand in God's power, not in what some person talked you into. Huh? Oh my, if a person can talk you into it, somebody else will talk you out of it.
That's right.
Somebody talk you into it, then they can change you and make you go somewhere else. But if you ever hear that gospel, they can't run you off. Ain't that right? I mean, the preacher can get pretty upset sometimes and get aggravated and may say some things. I've said things that I just... And your wife will catch it when nobody else will. They'll say, did you believe you said that? And I said, what did I say? Oh! But oh my. But that's what's so wonderful about the gospel. The gospel, you understand it. That your gospel, your faith, doesn't stand in what some person taught you into. You know how your gospel come to you? By God's power. God's grace. By the power of Almighty God Himself. Huh? And oh, I'll tell you. That's why, and listen to me, that's why having a time and a place and an experience is so dangerous. Very, very dangerous. You find somebody that always goes back to something that happened when they was 12 or when they was 15 or when they was 6. I've heard folks, you know, got saved when they're 6, 7, 8, 10, 12. But I'll tell you something. If you can believe when you're 6, you can go to hell when you're 6.
That's right.
If you die, lost. Now, ain't that right? Steve Dishman was talking to a preacher one time at a gas station. And if I'm wrong about this, Steve, you straighten me out. But this preacher's telling about how many people they'd got saved, how many children they had got saved. And oh, I had a meeting and oh, got a whole bunch of 4, 5, 6, 7-year-old children saved. And Steve told him, he said, well, you know, if they're old enough to be saved, they're old enough to be lost and old enough to perish. And that preacher didn't know what in the world to think. Didn't know what to say. Huh? That's scary, ain't it? And that's what I mean, that the faith comes by the power of God. It don't come in sending to some man's wisdom.
Right.
Honey, you believe Jesus, don't you? Well, yes. You want to be saved? Yeah. It'll make your mama so happy. Oh, she'll be so happy for you. Come over here and let us baptize you. And oh, your mama will just cry. She'll be so happy for you. And then, you know, they get 15, 16 years old and they just right back where they started.
Right.
Yeah. Out there in the world doing all the things that the world does. Ain't that right? Huh? All right. There's the third thing. We're saved by hearing the gospel in time. And then Paul says, we have been saved, we are being saved, and we shall be saved. Now, we are being saved right now.
Yes, sir.
I mean, we're being saved right now. Huh? What are we being saved for? That's why Paul said, lay hold on eternal life. To lay hold on something, you got to turn loose something else.
Yeah.
And there's lots of things we have turned loose of.
Yeah. Yeah.
I never will forget Scott one time. He's talking about going into business. Mary was talking about, you know, getting into business, this one particular business. And we was talking about, Scott said, well, you know, the Bible said lay hold on eternal life. And if you're going to lay hold on eternal life, you ain't got time to take up nothing else. And man, that just, woo! That just knocked that in the head that quick. That was forgot that fast. And I tell you what, we're saved from some things, saved from sin's power, saved from sin's pleasure, saved from the world, saved from self. That's the person that needs saved from more than anything else is self.
Yes.
Huh? Self-trust, self-confidence, self-righteousness. And that's something we have to deal with all the days of our life. Saved from error. Oh, God, save us from error. Saved from ignorance. Saved from our preconceived ideas. Saved from our strength. Our own strength. We got no strength. They said, oh, listen, you got a lot of strength, but you know, my weakest point is this. My weakest point's me.
Yeah.
I ain't got no way to look behind me. I can't look to my right. I can't look to my left. I can't see tomorrow. This weakest link? It's me. It's me. And I tell you what, and I self-trust, oh my goodness. Oh my, how in the world's God save us now? By the word being preached to us all the time. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Huh? And I tell you what, He saves us by the Word of God continually and constantly in the hands of the Holy Spirit. Oh my. And let me tell you something. We've all had grave clothes. Huh? When God saves us and is continuing to save us, when He called Lazarus from the grave, he had grave clothes on. Huh? And I tell you, no one comes into the kingdom of God fully grown. We don't do it. We don't, you know, we have to start out just like Lazarus did. He called us out of the tomb, saved us from so great a death, and from then on, He's taken these old self-righteous rags off of us. Taking these old self-confidence off of us. Taking our carnal reasoning away from us. Taking our self-righteousness away from us. When we do something, we want everybody to know what we've done. You know why we want people to know what we've done? So they'll say, boy, I tell you what, they're really something. That's what we love to be bragged on, don't we? But God don't brag on us. No, God don't brag on us. He don't do it. We give thanks for one another, but oh my. And no one comes into this kingdom of God full-born. We're born new babes. Then we become children. Then we become young men. And then we become fathers. Old John Newton's got a message, and I can't remember the name of it, but he says, you know, over in Mark chapter, I think it's chapter 5, he says, there's the corn that's put in the ground. Comes the ear. It comes right up, just a little blade. Then in a little while, it grows up bigger. And then, you know, it's full grown, and then there's the corn in the ear. And he says, you know when it's ripe? When the ear hangs down. That's the way we are. We're just like a blade that comes up. And we grow up. And as we get older, and our time gets closer, that ear corn starts hanging down. And you know what? If something's hanging down, that means it's good and ripe. You know what you do when your corn's good and ripe? You pick it. That's what God's going to do. He's going to pick us. Oh my. And let me watch some of our grave clothes. Well, we're born ignorant. I do know that. Born as ignorant as a... And I tell you, one of the worst grave clothes that anybody's born with is sentiment. Sentimentality. People start worrying about when they hear the gospel. What about my brother? What about my mommy? What about my sister? What about my granny? Oh my. It don't make any difference. They're gone. We can't undo anything that's been done. And when we're gone, we can't come back and do nothing. And I tell you, and our traditions, oh my goodness, our traditions. And that's, Yeah, that's, you know, people say, well, I've never heard anything like that in all my life. You know what Paul did? He walked off and left his tradition, left his religion, left everything behind. And he said, you know what he said about it? That's dung. Garbage. Put it in the trash can. Throw it away. Oh, morality. Men love their good works, their goodness. And I tell you what, we men want to preserve their dignity at the expense of God's glory. And let me tell you something. We never become lost by doing anything. We was born that way. And we're not going to be saved by doing anything either. Oh my. Well, not only have we been saved from things, but we've been saved to some things.
Yes.
You know what some of the things we've been saved to? First and foremost is for the glory of God. He saved us to the praise of the glory of His grace. God's going to get all the glory to Himself and His Son by our salvation. And I tell you, not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto Thy name give glory. And then we sing that old song, to God be the glory, great things He hath done. I tell you what, and here's the thing about it. If He saves you to His glory, and you fully understand that, then the rest of your life, you're trying by God's grace to glorify Him in any situation you're in. Just like Shirley in her situation this morning. And when she went up there to be with her mother, I'll tell you this much about her. I know she'll react and she'll do what she's doing for God's glory. And I know that God's grace will be sufficient for her to honor God through this whole thing. I know that. Why do I know that? Because that's all of our purpose in this life. Huh? Bruce Crabtree and him and his wife in the condition they're in. Three big tumors in her brain and the situation they're in. Only thing he says is, oh God, don't let me bring shame on you. Let me do everything that I do and everything we go through to your glory.
Yes.
Huh? Oh, God, help us to be this. And I tell you what, to His glory. And here's another thing. We're being saved to a greater conformity to the Lord Jesus Christ. I've told you this before. You know that if you go in this little old store and these folks have these dogs all around up there, you know, in this old country store. Fella come in there and all them fellas sitting around no pot belly stove whittling. Said, how in the world did you get all them dogs like that? And he painted them different colors. And he said, well, said, I whittle off everything don't look like a dog. And that's what God's doing to us. He's whittling off everything that don't look like Christ.
Yes.
Huh? Tim James can whittle. Oh, that fella can whittle. He makes owls that look so good. He makes these chains out of wood, and they just all one great big old long chain. He can really whittle. And you know how he does that? He cuts away everything don't look like that thing. And that's what God's doing for us. He is conforming us to the image of His Son.
Yes.
And one of these days, that's what predestination is. He's going to make us just like His Son. Now, when I say just like His Son, the only thing that will make us like His Son to be without sin, completely and perfectly in the presence of God, we're saved, we're in God's presence, and we'll love perfectly, and we won't even need to believe anymore because we'll be in His presence and we'll be just like Him, love God with all our hearts, and obey Him perfectly, and glorify Him perfectly for eternity. Now that's how we'll be made like Christ. Huh? Oh my. And I tell you, we are saved to a greater willingness for His will to be done. And we're saved to a greater understanding and appreciation for the grace of God. Oh, how grateful are we for God's grace. Huh? God's saving us. God keeping us. God's upholding us. And knowing that His grace is sufficient for anything that goes on in this world and in our lives. Huh? Amen?
Yes.
Oh my. And a greater understanding of the gospel and appreciation. And then fourthly, this is my fourth point. Saved from eternity. Saved by the gospel. Being saved from some things to some things. And this is what I've tried to get to. We shall be saved. Paul says, the time of my departure is at hand. He says, boy, I hate that. No, he said, the time of my departure is at hand. Huh? Surely Monday morning we missed the first flight out, you know. She missed that flight. Her departure time was a certain time. We didn't get there in time. So she didn't get to depart. But when God calls us to depart, we ain't going to miss the flight. And listen, we had to buy another ticket. But we ain't going to have to buy no tickets on this. It's already paid for. Oh my. Oh, listen. Our Lord Jesus said, He says, you know, my departure is at hand. I'm ready. Listen to what He said. I'm ready to be offered. Ready to be offered. And He said, but I kept the faith. I believe God. I believe the gospel. I believe God's grace. I believe everything God ever told me. And I'm trusting Him. The time of my departure. And I'm ready to be offered. And I've kept the faith. And we had that, war rages. He said, I fought a good fight. I fought for the gospel and the glory of God and for the grace of God. Everything that God is and His character and His glory and His honor and Christ's glory and Christ's death and Christ's righteousness imputed everything. He said, I fought a good fight. And I'm leaving this world. Oh boy. And you know how He does? Our time's always at hand. And most of the time He comes and gets us one by one. That old song, you know, going down the valley, one by one. He comes to get us one by one. Comes and get this one. And here's something, people wonder why God does things and why He takes people out of somebody's family. They belong to Him. He can come take them anytime He wants to.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. That's right.
Hey, no, we belong to Him. He can come take our family. He can come take our children. He can come take our home. He can come take our health.
Yes.
He can come take us anytime He wants to. It's His. That's all His.
Yes.
And so that's why we're just... He's going to come get us one by one. But one day... One day, He's going to come and get everybody at the same time. Everybody that's alive and remain shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. See if you see my eye twinkle. In the twinkling of an eye. And we shall all be changed. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Comfort one another with them words. Huh? Oh my. Our Lord Jesus Christ said, in my Father's house. Oh, there's so many mansions up there. Oh, there's so many mansions up there. And He said, and I tell you, I'm going to go away. But if I go away... He said, I'm going to come get you again. And when I come to get you, you know what I'm going to do with you? I'm going to bring you to where I am, that you may be with me. Oh, Lord, even so come, Lord Jesus, even so come. Oh, and now today we'll all be changed no matter where we are. We'll all be called home at the same time. If you ain't read Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress, you need to read it. You need to read it a lot. The Christian and Hopeful, they came up to the river. And they looked across the river and they saw over into Emmanuel's land. And then they had to cross that river. And he had so many people in that. There was a man called Mr. Ready to Halt. He went on crutches. Mr. Ready to Halt, ready to throw his crutches down. Well, he got to the river, he threw them away. And then there was Miss Diffidence. She was so bashful and backward, and she couldn't never say much, and she was just, oh, she's so diffident and embarrassed, you know, and so quiet. And there's Miss Much Afraid. She went all of her life, oh, I'm so... Well, you reckon I'm saved? You reckon I'm saved? I'm so sinful. How could I be saved? And then there's old Mr. Fearing. They all got there. And old Christian started across. He's the one that started, you know, he's the first character in Bunyan's Progress, Christian. And he got out in that water, and that water started. He said, "Oh my! It's going to come over my head. It's going to swell me up. It's going to swallow me up. This river is. I'm not going to make it." But then all of a sudden, he felt a rock right under his feet. And he went all the way over on that rock. He said, then that crossing was so easy, so easy. Our Lord said, lift up your heads, Redemption draweth nigh. No more struggles of heart. No more fears. No more infirmities. No more discouragements. No more weariness. No more darkness. And here's the best. No more goodbyes.
That's right.
No more goodbyes. We'll be in the glorious presence of Him who loved us and gave Himself for us. And we'll be in His presence whom we long to see. And there'll be nothing but joy and peace and rest through all eternity. What a day that'll be when my Jesus I shall see, when He takes me by the hand, leads me to the promised land. When I look upon His face, the one who saved me by His grace, what a day, what a day that'll be. Amen. Amen. You reckon you girls could sing that for us? Come and sing that for us. Oh my. What a future we have. You know, and our future started before the world ever began. Where we're ending up started before the world ever began. Ain't that such a blessing?